today on Real Radio.
I challenge everyone within the hearing of my voice that the God of the Bible is the only one that has been revealed to mankind among all gods that claims that he alone is the God of salvation and redemption, that he is the God of deliverance. There's none other.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 3, continues his series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. Even though the Apostle Peter is older now, he's living a more resilient and unwavering kind of faith. Many are twisting the truth these days about Jesus and his ministry here on earth, and this is why knowing what's true and what's false is at the heart of Peter's letter. In chapter 2 of 2 Peter, we'll see how Peter links the rebellion of the angels to the rebellion of mankind. Peter draws these comparisons knowing that our enemy is not human. We're dealing with demonic spirits from another realm that roam about looking for ways to deceive us and destroy us spiritually. But at the very heart of God is the desire to save us, to redeem us, and to deliver us from the bondage that Satan keeps trying to impose on our lives. So today on day one of this message, Pastor Jack reminds us that our mission to spread the gospel is urgent. The Lord is not willing that any of us perish under the weight of our sin. As believers, when it comes to sharing Christ, it's really not an option. We have got to be ready to go and do whatever the Lord asks us to do. And now in his message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Father, we pray that you would bless the going forth of your word. It may be short this morning, maybe not, I don't know, but it is certainly needed. And Lord, I pray for one that you'd give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, and that we would leave this place today real Christians. I'm not saying we're not real Christians now, but I'm saying, Lord, that when we leave this building today, we would be really, really real Christians. Very much serious about what you've called us to do as believers. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. And now we pick it up in verse 5. What you and I really need to know as Christians is that our mission is urgent. Will you write that down, please? Urgent. I had a hard time leaving the word urgent in this particular argument of number 2. What you and I need to know is that our mission as believers is urgent. Urgent sounds kind of panicky, and I don't like that. But it is urgent. And so allow me to explain what urgent means in light of what Peter's arguing to us or with us this morning. As we begin to set this up, can you mark this down in your note-taking? Regarding the second point, that our mission is urgent. As Christians, we have an urgent mission, and I want you to be good students and ask yourself the question, why? Why are you saying, Jack, that this is an urgent thing and we need to know it? Because number one, mark this down if you would. This is introduction to this and background to this study. It is the very heart of God, the God of the Bible. And I want to underline that. The God of the Bible. Not the God of other books or the gods of other religions. It is exclusively, uniquely the God, singular, of the Bible, specifically, that is a God of salvation, redemption, and deliverance for mankind. I just said it. I'll say it again. I challenge everyone within the hearing of my voice that the God of the Bible is the only one that has been revealed to mankind among all gods that claims that he alone is the God of salvation and redemption, that he is the God of deliverance. There's none other. Only him. He says so. In fact, kind of sneaking ahead, look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness. I'll explain that in a second. But he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me tell you what this does not mean. It doesn't mean that God is going to just turn a blind eye to your sinful conduct and you go to heaven by default. That's not what this means. Don't think that people go to heaven by default. By default, according to the Bible, man is on his way to hell. That's default. The truth is, our God has intervened in our situation. He went to the cross. He died at the cross. He was buried in that tomb. He rose again from that grave. And in doing so, listen, he canceled out the power of sin over your life, erased all the guilt and shame that was against you. The Bible says that he took all of our sin and nailed it to his cross. The book of Colossians tells us. That's good news. But then when he rose again from the dead, it's in that resurrection that the book of Romans tells us that he became our advocate. And the word advocate is our attorney. He became our defense, our advocate. It's the God of the Bible that is the God of salvation, redemption, deliverance for mankind. And perhaps there's no more vivid portion of Scripture that explains and shows to us the desire of God to reveal himself to mankind. I call it in my mind, in my study, I look at it as the New Testament, John 3:16. Look at the screen or mark it in your Bibles or in your margins. It's Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. I'm going to read this to you, and I want you to be listening as I read it, but be mindful of John 3:16, and we'll read that later on. But Isaiah 6, verse 1, regarding this urgent mission that you and I are on as believers in this world around us. Number one, verse 1, I should say, Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, says Isaiah, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe, that is his glory, filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. That's an order of angels. Very strange looking things. Each one had six wings. With two, that is two wings, he covered his face. And with two, that is two wings, he covered his feet, torso actually. And with two, that is wings, he flew. And one, that is one of the seraphim, cried to the other and said, so they cry this back and forth, one to another in the presence of God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, this is Isaiah speaking, woe is me. The word woe is I'm completely undone. My existence is unworthy to be acknowledged. I'm nothing. For I am undone because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which had been taken off with the tongs from the altar, a burning coal. And he touched my tongue or my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Listen to what Isaiah's response was. Then I said, here I am, send me. Isn't that an amazing response? Kind of leads you to believe that once you realize that your sins are forgiven and your sins are purged from your life, you're willing to do whatever God would have you to do. God responded in verse 9 and said to him, go tell this people. That's why your life as a Christian is urgent. You've been commanded by God to go tell this people, this culture, this world, this state, this nation, that you and I live in, to tell them. We're to be speaking and preaching and talking and living and showing the world around us about this God. It's an important thing, of course, the Bible tells us that you and I as believers should bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And you can read that. I'll read it to you actually in a moment in the book of Galatians. But you can't bear the fruit of the Spirit if you have the works of the flesh in your life. know what I'm saying? And you say, I don't know what you're talking about. That's why I'm going to read it to you in a minute. This is important. What Peter wants you and I to know, but we've got to know, is that our mission is urgent. And imagine for a moment, for some of you, you don't have to imagine this. Imagine being loaded up, maybe, or lifting off the deck of an aircraft carrier in helicopters that are going to be heading to a covert clandestine operation. And you're actually down to the landing moment at the target. Your watches are all synchronized. You sit in silence. You're rehearsing your action, and you know that if each man does his part, then everything's going to work. Did you know that? You don't have to worry about your partner. You don't even think about your partner. If you know your job, and if you know exactly what you've studied to execute this mission, you don't have to think about your team member, because your team member is completely, we would use the term, in lockstep. There's cohesiveness, probably second to none in the world. And everything now by your practice has become automated. Better than second nature. It's you. And as you approach the target and as you get close, there's a sense where everything is heightened. All of your senses are heightened. You're in tune. Stop right there in our illustration. And allow me to put it this way, just for stress sake. You have 12 guys, but behind each guy, there's about 23 operators throughout the world taking care of that one special operator by satellite, by aircraft, by land and sea. There's about 23 people managing that one soldier, and you've got anywhere from 9 to 12 soldiers and 23 behind each of them. Not to mention the flight operations and the things that are taking place. At that moment, do you think 5 minutes from the target, they have a thought in their mind of pornography? Do you think for one moment in their mind that they stop and say, you know what, man, I just need to get one more hit. I just need to draw one more line of cocaine. Do you think they think like that? They absolutely do not think like that. You say, what are they, all Christians? No, this is my point. Even the non-Christian cannot think that way and will not allow himself to think that way, because the mission is everything and it screams urgency, because success is the only option. And we as Christians trip around this world like it's going to last forever, and people that we live near and people that we brush shoulders with at the store or at the office, if we knew their eternal destination, we would probably have to go to the office bathroom and break down in tears. There's a hell that is stirring beneath them that is opening its mouth to grab them, and we're playing Call of Duty or Xbox. I'm not condemning Call of Duty or Xbox or Fortnite or whatever you do. I'm calling you to consider being urgent about the mission that God has called you on as a believer. Amen. I have to compose myself on this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Boy, is that not true? When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, which is weird. That's a weird word, sorcery. The word is, in the Greek, it's pharmakei. You get the word? When you go get your prescription filled, where do you go? The pharmacy. It's pharmakei. The word means hallucinogenic drugs, drugs that alter your judgment. Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, says the apostle, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the works of the flesh. I don't know about you, but before I got saved, I wasn't doing all those things, but I was doing the majority of them. Okay? So don't look at me like that. Look at verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Verse 23, gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. You know what's amazing about that statement? The Holy Spirit, you and I cannot live like that. Take a deep breath, everybody. Get some air in there. Fill up your blood with O2. You get your brain going. Let it out. Here's some good news. You cannot be that loving. You cannot be that kind. You cannot be that person. Only the Holy Spirit in the believer's life can make you that person. And here's how he does it. He lives his life. This is the evidence. The Holy Spirit living his life out through you is the fruit of the Spirit. When you say, oh man, I need to get more patience, or I need to get more love, I need to get more kindness, what you need to say is, Lord, please, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I need the fruit of the Spirit to flow out of my life, because Lord, I'm lacking. Last time I checked, my fruit's kind of stinky. It's kind of rotten. I need help. I've not been very kind lately. Lord, I repent of that, and I ask you to take me over and conquer me. If you have that focus, there's no time for those things that would in no way, shape, or form ever distract the soldier from his immediate deployment. Hey, wait, guys, wait. I know we're about ready to jump out of this thing, but wait a minute. I got one more thing to solve on this game. No, the Bible says no soldier involved in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life, says the Bible. Remarkable, right? Urgency, urgency, urgency. The second thing is this, that our mission is urgent, and wow, verse 5 tells us that our mission pronounces judgment. This is hard. Church family, listen, the temptation for you to maybe not be able to handle where we're going on this, this is going to be tough. I'm going to tell you right now, this is tough. This is going to hurt. Look at verse 5. And God did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people. You say, well, Jack, I've read that 1,000 times. What's the big problem? The big problem is that what you and I need to know is that our mission is urgent as Christians in this world. And our mission as Christians, if we're going to be faithful to it, it pronounces judgment. Did you know that? Our love for Jesus, every time I say I love Jesus, I feel like an idiot when I say that. When you say you love Jesus, what comes to your mind? Obedience. That's good. You're a positive thinking person. When I think about loving Jesus, I think about how little I love him. He said obedience. God bless you. And that is the answer, by the way. To love him is to obey him. And which is funny, because when you love him, the word obedience doesn't even come up. You know what I'm saying? Like, are you married? If you're married and you love your wife, the word submit or submission will never come up. You want to know why? Because she knows you love her. If somebody has to turn to their wife and say, you know, woman, the Bible says you need to submit to me. Okay, you got a big problem going on there. You're probably not treating her very well, which is why you have to bring it up. If she knows that you love her, she might want to go. I'm letting too much truth come out right now. She might want to go to Santa Barbara, but the other guy might want to go to San Diego for the day off. And if we wind up going to San Diego, it's only because she knows that even though she wanted to go to Santa Barbara, she knows that I love her and that it's totally okay with her because whatever, it's good. Of course, the flip, just for the record, the flip side of it is, if I love my wife like Christ loved the church, I will now remove San Diego from the desire on a Monday morning and go to Santa Barbara. And So submission is something that's brought up most often in a negative sense. If you love God, whenever I say I love God, I feel like those words are so shallow. And maybe that's because I'm hard on myself. I'm a law unto myself. I'm my worst enemy. But when I say, Lord, I love you, immediately, oh, Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord, I wish I loved you more. When the Bible here says that God did not spare the ancient world but saved Noah, one of eight people, our mission is a mission that pronounces judgment. Christian, listen, the more you and I love God, really, really love him, our witness, listen, with mouth and by action, is going to upset people. I want you all to hear this. If you forget everything, don't forget this. You must have in your life in the 21st century as a Christian, because it's true in every century for Christians, collisions. You're representing the kingdom that is in collision with a dark world. Your agenda is God's agenda. God's agenda is not your agenda. You don't make it out your way. Your agenda, it's God's agenda. Remember, wasn't it Ronald Reagan that corrected the people who said, we want to make sure that God's on our side? And Ronald Reagan, of all people, said, wait a minute, we need to make sure that we're on God's side. That's what I'm talking about. And if you're going to choose to follow Christ, like Peter's warning us to do, but to do with depth of thought and commitment, with a sense of urgency, the world is not going to be your friend. You need to know that. I just want everyone to love me. Then you know what? Then Christianity ain't going to do it for you. Because if you speak and talk and act like Jesus exactly, you know what that means? If they could, they'd crucify you too. But I thought Jesus was loving. Oh, he's loving, all right. He's loving. But this world doesn't understand one iota what true love is. I thought he was cool. Where'd you get that from? Doesn't he want me happy? No. Where'd that come from? He wants you holy. No, he doesn't play with happiness. He gives you something better. It's called joy.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 3. Thank you for being with us. What You Really Need to Know, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Does it seem as if our country has lost its moral compass? Are you as concerned as I am that our nation's freedoms are declining instead of thriving? Well, Pastor Jack's book of the month for June is called Samuel Adams, A Life by Ira Stoll. This fascinating biography on one of our founding fathers is sure to both inspire and motivate you to help preserve America's Christian values. Thomas Jefferson called Adams the spirit of the Revolution. When a British general offered Samuel Adams great wealth to end his cause for liberty, Adams' response was, I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I need no king. Yet we've all but forgotten him. This is why Pastor Jack wants us to know about Samuel Adams and to be that intentional in our fight to maintain our God-given freedoms. Ira Stoll not only restores Samuel Adams to his rightful place in history, but gives the reader new insights into this uncompromising man of God. Samuel Adams, A Life by Ira Stoll. It's available at our website, jackhibbs.com, for a gift of any amount, so be sure to order your copy right away. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.